Welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Modern Dating Podcast, your online compass for navigating the wide world of modern dating. Whether you're swiping left, swiping right, or meeting someone in the real world, I'm here to help you make the best choices on your journey to finding love. In this season, I'm diving deep into the world of dating apps, breaking down what makes a killer profile, and how to spot the red flags in others. We'll also explore how to connect with someone special in real life and the art of striking up a conversation that actually leads somewhere. We will also tackle the tough stuff, like healing from past relationships and learning how to build healthier, stronger connections moving forward. So whether you're new to the dating scene or just looking for fresh insights, join me as we explore the highs and lows of modern romance. It's time to swipe smart, date better, and find the love that truly fits. Hello and welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Modern Dating Podcast. Tonight, I have with me a very special gentleman, and I can't wait to talk to him. With me tonight is Matt Cook. Welcome, Matt, to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. Are you anonymous or are you Andrew?
You can call me Andrew. Yeah, there's a whole story behind the anonymous, and some of the podcast listeners know what it's all about. It comes from part of being an AA, but it has nothing to do with my sobriety. I just thought it was a cool name, Anonymous Andrew, but there's more to it. But anyway, let me tell the audience, Matt is a sex and health researcher and has been in the coaching business for many years, and he has helped over, this is blowing my mind, has helped over 80,000 students, and then fill in that rest of the sentence, help them doing what?
Well, I help people recover their health and their sex life. Really, principally always men, although I have helped girlfriends and wives, and but pretty much avoid circling down the rat hole,
right?
Where there's a dead bedroom, or you have no sex, you have no sex life, you have ED, you have type 2 or hypertension or lots of stuff, and you have 10 medications, and you go, is this all there is in life? And that can happen now, you know, maybe when someone's 40 or 50 or even in their 30s.
People used to think it was like a senior citizen thing. It's not anymore.
No.
There's many midlife, basically with mid 40s, 50s. I remember
20s.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Very unhealthy.
It's interesting you said that, because the porn industry is to blame for a lot of that. These young guys watching porn all the time. And then when they're with a woman or whatever, they can't perform because it's not what they're used to seeing on the screen, but that's a whole different topic.
Well, it is. It's part of it. Yeah. So I work with all different age groups, primarily men, and there is a lot wrong with dating today. And I'll say, when I was dating, I did have to learn how to meet women in person and sort of do pickup and all of that. And I think today it's exactly the same. Yeah, it's about the same today. I think that people have to get out there and meet people in person, and they don't want to. With COVID and with people being alone on their phones.
Thank you.
We're at a point that the skills have atrophied, and it's like, well, I have enough here. I have enough in my life with all my, maybe I have a dog. Maybe I have, you know, my work, all of that. Women are exactly the same, if not worse. And I don't know if I want somebody else in my life. And then pretty soon it's like they're 30, 35, and they've never had anybody else in their life. And it gets harder and harder to even think about it. I see roving bands of single young women, usually around 30, when I'm in Washington, D.C. And then I see guys, you know, with their buddies, and nobody's coupled. They're not talking to each other anymore. Have you noticed that?
I have it only because I have a rigid schedule. I go 8-to-5 job. I come home and I work on my podcast. I'm out on the weekends, and I don't really socialize. I'm a dry, I'm a sober person. So I don't really get out much. That didn't sound right, but you know what I'm saying. I don't really Yeah, I live outside New York City. I don't go hang out in New York City. But right. I on social media, I see, it's like that high school dance or the junior high school where all the girls sat on one side and the men sat on the other side. Yeah. Nobody wanted to dance, you know?
That's right.
So let's talk about that for a second. For me, and you talked about meeting people in real life, before the internet, you know, I had no problem meeting women. So I did meet women in the real world. Then comes along the dating apps into 2008, something like that, eHarmony and Match came online. And then they came to the cell phones. And back then I was dating online back then and I had no problem except that I was dating for the wrong reasons, but lately, in the last 10 years, I've been dating online, and it's just horrible. I get likes. I start talking to women, and then they just disappear. I'm talking to a woman this week, three days in a row, texting. All of a sudden, goodbye. I mean, she didn't say goodbye. She's just not talking to me anymore.
Just ghosted you. Yeah, just ghosted you.
It seems that way. But there were some meat and potatoes in our conversation. We were having I even offered, I said, hey, let's exchange phone numbers, blank, you know? Mm-hmm. And I had a woman before that who breadcrumbed me for 6 weeks. But these are women who picked me. I have a philosophy. If I swipe right on these women, what are the chances are they going to hit me up? Women, they have 100 of men in their inbox.
That's right.
I know that if I don't stand out, they're not going to. I sit back. I make a nice profile, and I sit back and I let the women come to me, and it works. I do get likes every single day. I have some deal breakers, distance, and you know, some other characteristics that I check boxes. But I do talk to women, but they just don't seem to want to move forward. Like, we talk, we chat. What do you do? And then all of a sudden, it's like silence, crickets. And it's like, well, you paid $120 to be on this dating app. You liked me. You checked. I matched you back. And yet, you're not following up on my questions. Any thoughts on...
What's your age group that you're pursuing?
So I'm 64. I would like somebody younger, but not much younger. I want somebody maybe... late 50s and or my age group. The last woman I dated was 65. So I'm
you
open.
You should have a lot of choices then. You should have a lot of choices in that.
And I do.
Yeah. But getting the date itself is kind of an issue because they still have, even in that age range, they have a lot of choice and they have lists and they have issues they're going, they're trying to resolve on their own. So much baggage. So much baggage.
Oh, well, I ranted about this. I do weekend rants where on the weekends I come out and I tell people about the past week of my dating life.
Yeah.
This past woman that I was dating for 6 weeks, we went on a couple of dates and we were talking, but she breadcrumbed me because every week there was another problem in her life. So, you know, I'm not going to mention it, but she would, and they seem legitimate, you know, but one weekend we had plans for Saturday night, Friday, I get a call, I can't make it. And I said, nope. And I was a gentleman about it. Hey, listen, family comes first. Go take care, blah, blah, blah. And then we talk next week, and then I get ghosted. And then I say to her, this is something that I'm practicing now. If I feel like I'm getting ghosted, I reach out to them and say, I guess you decided not to pursue. Can you give me some feedback as to why? And I heard that on another podcast, and it kind of gives closure. You get an idea of what.
Do they tell you? What do they tell you?
Well, this is interesting. The last woman I tried that on, I got a phone call as soon as I sent that text message. Oh, no, I'm not ghosting you. I'm so sorry.
Then I've had you.
A, B, C, D. She did ghost me, but when I called her out on it, she called me on the phone and apologized. And so I gave her a second chance, and then she did the same thing all over again. Like 2 weeks later, I just wouldn't hear from her.
Why are you going for several weeks going back and forth? Have you thought about maybe you're going too long before you actually go for a date, a coffee date or whatever? Have you thought about that?
Well, let me give you an example. The woman I'm talking to this week, we met on Monday, and on Tuesday and Wednesday, we chatted it up. And yesterday I said, here's my phone. I gave her my phone number. And I said, if you're comfortable going off the app. Here's my number. If you're not, we'll stay here. But my idea was when I got her on the phone, I'd say, hey, let's get together this Saturday or Friday or whatever, this weekend. But that's when she never responded to me. So I believe in that. Within 7 to 10 days, I want to be sitting in front of you at a table somewhere, in a bar.
That's it. I mean, it's got to be. Even that's probably a long time, really, these days.
I'm all good for it. It's getting the woman. This might be too much. My dad brought me up to be a gentleman, and I try to feel them out on the app, how they feel, because there are a lot of creeps out there. There are. And there's a lot of scammers out there. One of my new podcasts is going to be about scam baiting and going after the scammers. Whole different subject. But women are, I think, a little cautious about meeting too quickly and talking too quickly, because either that or they're just not really in it. Like, they have no intent on really dating. They're out there just to see what's out there. I've decided there's three types of women. There's women who are looking for relationships, women who are looking just to get laid, or they're looking for hookups, and that's more the younger generation. And then there's women that have no idea what they really want. They have no idea, but they're on dating apps, and I seem to be running into those women. They just don't know what they want.
How many first dates do you have, let's say, in a typical month, first dates?
Well, it's interesting you said that. I had hip surgery at the beginning of this year, so that knocked me out for 3 months.
Sure.
Then I got COVID, so add another month. But since then, I've gone on about 5 first dates and a second date with somebody who I thought we were going to do a third date, and that's the one that breadcrumbed me and then ghosted me. So last year, I did a lot of dates, but they were only one dates. But I wasn't really ready to get back out there. I was doing it to meet women, to get confidence, and to report back to my audience. I'm testing the waters. It's like, so my heart got broken. I was not in a good place. I needed to heal. I needed to grieve. I needed to live in my own skin. But I did go on dates to practice and to go out there and then tell the audience what's happening. But in the last 18 months, I've gone on a dozen dates or meet and greets. Let's talk about that. What would you recommend? There's this thing about meet and greet.
Okay. So what I suggest that you do, when you say meet and greet, you mean like some of those, so everybody has an exit plan and you're just going to get together for 45 minutes and no one's going to get caught and trapped, right?
Right.
Well, I think what you want to do is you want to have a date that you go on every time, a really cool date. And what you could do is, you live outside of the big city, right? You could have, you know, come up with things that you do. I know you don't drink, but 3 or 4 things, like cool things that you can walk through and show or whatever, depending on the weather. And just basically do the same thing every time. Get to know the person at the coffee place that you always go to, and maybe an art gallery or whatever it is. And that way you have a predictable thing that you do. And I think that works out a lot better. I think sometimes it's like very casual. Let's have coffee somewhere, whatever. And it's not very interesting. It doesn't get anybody really excited. Maybe that's what's going on here.
Well, and I think that's where the conversation beforehand is. I want to get a sense, do they really want to pursue something? Because a meet and greet is really just to say, hey, I see who you are. You really are who you are in your pictures. You're not catfishing me, yada, yada, yada. And if there's a connection, so my first date 6 weeks ago with the woman who breadcrumbed me, it was a meet and greet. We grabbed a quick hamburger someplace, and we had such a great time that we decided to extend the date. So it went from a meet and greet to a night out. We went out dancing and did some other stuff. So I also do this. On the first date, I will go to the woman's neighborhood. So if it's 5 miles or 30 miles, I'll come to you because I want her to be comfortable. I want her to be in her own comfort zone. So I'll say to her, is there a cafe? Is there something that you like going to in your neighborhood? I want her to feel that she's close to home. If she feels like she needs to get out of there or she doesn't have a long drive, yada, yada. And it works. The women love that. It's worked for me, I should say. I so to answer your question, I don't have a specific place.
I think you should. I really do. I think also if you're kind of bending over backwards for them in a sense.
I am.
And I think that people kind of pull back when someone does that. You kind of have to get her to continue to pursue. I think it's good to meet somewhere that's further away from her. It's much more of a commitment than it is just meeting somewhere nearby. Plus, if she picks the place, you lose the initiative as a male, which is a good thing to have. I would recommend you have a routine that you scout out and you get to know the coffee person and the place, and you just have like two or three places that you go to in a 45-minute or an hour period, kind of keep it moving, keep it exciting. Then you have to go. And I think that makes them really want more. And that's probably what you want to do.
Interesting. Okay.
The same person every time.
What I've been doing sometimes works, but doesn't always work. I've been single for 2 years. One of those years was on purpose. And I'm ready to go back out there. So I'm open to any ideas. I'll do anything. You're right. I bend over backwards because I'm a people pleaser. But I'm also, I was brought up with three sisters. So I have that feminine mentality that I think I know a woman because you get the idea. I was brought up with three sisters.
You probably read Robert Glover, Nice Guys and all of that. Right. I mean, you've listened to some of his interviews or read his book.
The Nice Guys Finished Last. Is that
it's something like that? No More Mr. Yeah. Nice Guy. That was
No More Mr. Nice Guy. Right.
Yeah. And I think that makes a very good point for people that are people pleasers. Women kind of pick up on that and then they feel they can sort of step on you and they just don't. It's better to be more assertive, have a place. Tell her to meet you at that place. She can figure it out. It could be a half an hour away. I mean, that's much, much better than having her pick a place, in my opinion. That's a small thing, but it sort of sets up the foundation.
I did that on the second date, this last woman. The second date, I said to her, there's a restaurant between you and me, I met her halfway. It was really more closer to me. And I said to her, I've always wanted to check this restaurant out. And she said, yeah, I'll meet you there. And we did. And that went great. Mm-hmm. And that's what got me confused because that went very well and she still ghosted me, I say ghosted, but it was breadcrumb ghosting. It was like not responding, then respond a week later with an excuse. And then I would just say, hey, do you still want to continue doing this? Or just tell me, because if you're not interested, I'll move on. I'm always open and honest. And she's, no, I want to see you. And then I got ghosted.
I'm a little bit into being a little trickier and not being so open and honest initially. I think when we meet somebody, we present a package, which is what we represent ourselves to be. We all do that. And I think it's important not to be too open and honest up front. And then you kind of gradually become more open and honest. That's how we all work anyway.
Okay. I buy that. I'm into that. All right. Hey, listen, like I said, I'm what I've been doing for the past 30 years with alcohol or not has not worked. I've been married twice. I got kids and grandchildren, all that stuff. But I'm looking for a life partner now. And even though I'm comfortable now being single, which I never thought I would. Matt, if you knew me 5 years ago, I was a codependent. I needed to have a woman on my arms. Now, I'm not so sure I can fit one in my lifestyle because between my job and my podcast and my meetings but those Saturday nights and Sunday mornings or whatever, I'd like company. I would like to have someone to go take a nice walk on the crisp morning or go something, go watch a movie with somebody instead of sitting in my bed every night watching a Matt Damon movie by myself,
Right. Right. So, yeah. Well, one of the things that kind of brought me to coaching men is I had a lot of my own issues, as we all have an issue a problem. I had some ED. I was nervous about meeting women. I had performance anxiety. Ultimately, I finally got over that. Then I had very, very significant, huge health problems. I wouldn't even be alive by now if I hadn't figured that out. And I just started on this track where 25 years ago, I became a health and sex researcher. And one of the things that people don't really estimate correctly is the impact of sex on a relationship and how it can really actually pull people apart rather than bring people together. Isn't that interesting? Does anybody think about sex as actually pulling people apart?
Yes. Especially if one is cheating, but that's a different topic. But right, yeah. I want to dive into that.
Oh, yep. Go ahead.
But you brought up health. And it's interesting, in our demographic, we start to get, so I have atrial fibrillation. Right now I'm wearing a heart monitor because it's my AFib is shot up and they may need to do the procedure where they
ablation,
stop the heart, or, yeah, something like that. So whatever. That's not going to stop me from dating. That's a one-day procedure.
You know what I discovered? I don't know if you want to talk about it. I discovered about 70, 80, 90% of AFib can be fixed very easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really a scandal, really.
Yeah. My cardiologist said, wear this for 2 weeks. We'll set up a thing where you go in for a day. They do something with the heart, yada, yada. I have no problem. I just had hip surgery. I'm used to this stuff. I have had both my hips replaced. So but getting on in our years, these little health things pop up. But all right, let's go back to the sex, because sex is a great topic, right? When we're dating, when you talk about sex, I don't have sex on the first, second, or third date. It's just a rule I have.
For even the third date. You don't, not on the third date. Because that's,
yeah.
Third date is a pretty, is there a reason for that? Not on the third date? Because that's a pretty good, you know, three dates is pretty good.
Well, it depends on how well it's, we're clicking. So that would require inviting her back to my place or her inviting me back to her place. I don't do the hotel thing. So,
right.
Well, let's just put it this way. I haven't gotten to a third date yet. The woman I was just dating, I would have liked to have pursued. And
how
and
soon are you getting physical? When are you kissing her the first time?
Well, I can only judge, I'll give you an answer by the last girlfriend that I had a relationship with, and it took 3 months.
Okay, you should be kissing.
Not on kissing. The first date. No, we were kissing.
First date, kissing on the first date. You should be closing the physical space on the first date, enjoy each other's scent and everything on the first date, right? Is that a given?
I did that with this last woman. The dinner we went to while we were waiting for the valet to bring the car, I gave her a nice kiss and she kissed me back and I felt it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And ideally, honestly, the second date and the third date, what I have in my studies, what we have to do is we have to build up oxytocin. I know you've heard of oxytocin, the so-called love hormone. Mm-hmm. If we just jump into bed and have sex with somebody very soon, we don't have a lot of oxytocin. Then we have an ejaculatory orgasm and she has an orgasm, hopefully. But it actually causes this cycle to happen where we are actually less interested in each other than more interested in each other in a way. And this is a common problem now because people get to the sex too soon. So I'm recommending getting physical very soon, but putting off sex for a little while so you have more of the physical closeness, cuddling and kissing and all that several times. That's really what creates a much, much better experience. Then when you're having sex, it's much, much better because you're building oxytocin. That tends to bring you together, and generally it's not something where it's going to just disappear or ghost each other.
Do you think it's an age thing? Because I do hear that the younger 20s, 30s, and 40s, they are hookups the first night.
Well, they are. They are, but they're not forming relationships.
No, they're not.
That's the trouble. Yeah, they are. It's way too soon. And I've coached men in their 20s, the men who want to have a relationship with somebody who follow this, they just do beautifully. They just aren't hooking up. It's just not a healthy thing to hook up right off the bat.
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why I kind of shy away from it. But I just realized you differentiated between sex and intimacy. There's a big difference.
Right.
So
big kissing, difference, yeah, getting intimate very quickly is a key to the whole
thing. I agree. The pheromones, the scent.
Right.
Yeah, I have a very good, a cologne that I like that many women have complimented me on. Unfortunately, they don't make it anymore.
Which one is it?
Everybody's going to laugh. It was from Dollar Shave Club and it was called Blueprint 101. And they came in little bottles and I literally just do tit and just light because
it
some
gave
women.
You confidence. Gives you confidence.
It does.
Yeah.
And ironically, I'll tell you a quick story. The last girlfriend I had, we broke up one weekend but we both liked the beach. It was the middle of the summer and I knew she'd be down at the beach on a Sunday afternoon. So I went down to the beach and I was walking along the seashore and she was sitting and she smelled my scent from like 100 yards away and she called me out. We made up and all that stuff. So cologne can really work.
Yeah. It can. It totally can. So I'm going to give you something that a good takeaway for you and your listeners that I could do in our remaining time together, which is that Men are not realizing the cost of their ejaculatory orgasms, essentially. What I determined was, if a man kind of, let's say, does a lot of edging and doesn't come, he right. builds up more testosterone, and women sense his higher testosterone, and he becomes more assertive with women. And there's just something special about that. I recommend men go every 3 days, every 5 days, every 2 weeks, depending on whether they're on medications or having health issues. But that makes a major, major difference. Yeah.
So you're encouraging edging?
Yeah. Yeah, because...
Oh, really?
Yeah, not with video porn or photos at all. Either
no.
either erotica,
no.
written erotica, or just the imagination. But what happens is you can actually increase your sex drive and increase your attractiveness and your assertiveness with women.
Interesting.
By having, and it raises your libido, you know, dramatically.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's such an enormous difference. It's a different world. What you have to do is you focus. There's the muscles of the pelvic area get tightened up when we're masturbating or having intercourse. We tighten up.
Right.
And actually, we don't have to tighten up. We can actually learn to relax that area simply by focusing on it with our mind, like a meditation. It's not a muscle movement. Kind of, you know, when you do a Kegel, that's a muscle movement.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kegel exercises.
A Kegel exercise. You could do one Kegel. That focuses your mind. Oh, that's the muscle. Then you just focus on that and just relax that area and learn how to do that. I call it root focus. When you're talking to girls, when you're with them, when you're cuddling, when you're on a date. Anytime you learn to do root focus, you get very, what that does, it actually increases your sexual power and allows you not to get blue balls when you are edging or when you're with a woman and you're aroused. You don't get that congested feeling anymore. And what it does is it increases the sexual pleasure, and it increases this sort of availability to you that people see, that women pick up on and wanting you. It's really amazing. I call that root focus. Root focus.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Sure.
Because you just brought it to mind. So the horrible relationship I went through, she was cheating on me. And then when I found out later that she was actually with men the night before, because when we were having intercourse the next day, she would tell me it hurts. Or
right.
she would say, we can't have intercourse. I'll give you oral sex, whatever.
Right.
It really damaged my self-confidence, my libido. When a woman cheat or the partner cheats on you, you fucks with you mentally. I actually had to go through EMDR treatment. Anyway,
right.
The next year I was grieving and healing and learning about myself. I lost my sex drive, and my testosterone levels 2 years ago were 900, and my doctors were just flabbergasted. For a guy my age, I shouldn't be that high. I have lost interest in sex. Now, if I'm in the supermarket and I see a beautiful woman, or if I'm in the car driving and I hear, like on a podcast, they talk about sex, I get warm and fuzzy and I do feel sexual, and sometimes I'll get semi-hard. But I have lost the desire to actually, you know, we're predators, right? Men are the hunters, gatherers, and...
You have to be aggressive and assertive, basically, right?
I've lost Dominate. That. I've yeah. lost that. How do I get yeah. that back?
Yeah. So the edging does help that a great deal. And there's also things, medications can cause that drop. I would say the biggest things that cause the drop in libido would be SSRIs, pain, and pain medications. Those are
off
two. And
statins. Off them.
And statins.
I don't have, okay.
Yeah.
I'm on blood thinners and Toprol, and that's it. Yeah.
So the edging, again, without, it's hard for some men to get into it. If you're older, like I am, like you are, we remembered doing it before porn, video porn. So
right.
it's easier for us. Men who are younger, men are wired to video porn. They can't have an erection to masturbate without video
right.
porn. It's good to learn how to do that, basically, use fantasy. And that is actually increases your drive, because when you're not having regular sex, your testosterone levels really are falling. That's one of the reasons
yeah.
why desire falls, libido really falls. And cortisol goes up, you know, that hormone that is used when we have inflammatory situations in our body for different reasons, or fatty liver, lots of reasons. When cortisol goes up, sex drive goes down, testosterone goes down. So there are things that to
okay.
lower cortisol. But the edging and all that, that's been very helpful, and an ejaculatory schedule. Not just coming each time, not either by yourself or with somebody. That really tends to increase sex drive and attractiveness and attraction.
You are a sex health researcher, and you do have some, you've done a lot of research in the prostate. I have a question for you. I read somewhere, and I don't remember where, is that if you don't use the prostate, like if you don't ejaculate often, it actually starts to shrink or become inert at our age. Is that true?
I do think it's important to have regular ejaculations. Absolutely.
Okay.
One of the things that helps people with prostate problems and is a lot of fun is getting a device, a prostate massager device. And I like the company called Aneros. I don't have any stock in the company. I wish I did. Aneros, aneros.com. It was something created by a physician and his daughter who were using it for men with health issues. And then a lot of men started wanting it for pleasure, heterosexual men.
Right.
And the massage was shown in a pilot study at Columbia University, just putting this device in your butt, which is really easy to do. And it can be very pleasurable, actually helps massage the prostate and kind of get it activated again and fix a lot of prostate problems. And it's very easy to do. And it only takes a couple weeks to see a major improvement.
You, I did see on your website and in your bio, you do have a line of products. You want to give a quick shout out about?
I have for you, I have a book that I'm finishing up called Masculine Maximizer, which is all about using your sex drive, building your sex drive way beyond what I can tell you right now to get everything that you want in life, sex, love, rock and roll, abundance. And I'll give that free to anybody who, your audience, dailymedicaldiscoveries.com. You go into dailymedicaldiscoveries.com. It'll ask you to put your email address in, and I'll make sure to send you a copy of my book, an electronic copy.
Oh, thank you. That'd be great.
It's going to be $30 on Amazon, so it'll be free.
Oh, that's great. But you do have a line of serums or something I saw?
Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny. You mentioned cologne. We have a very, very high-end cologne that has animalic accords. Like for centuries and centuries, men would wear things that had deer musk, castoreum, civet, ambergris. And so we put those accords in to a cologne for attraction, an attraction cologne.
And is there a type of pheromone?
Yes. And we make it right here in the United States. It has ingredients from all over the world, but we make it here in St. Louis, Missouri. It's our own factory. And that's at shop.idealmail.com. And we have a 60-day guarantee. And it's a fabulous product. You're talking about cologne. That's why I was curious. I know a lot about colognes, a lot. And we put this together. I have a full-time perfumer on staff, and it's an incredible product. And then there's these serums and things that you can do to look younger and stay younger and feel more confident, which are really, really great because men are visual. We like looking at
yes,
women. Women absolutely. Are more by scent. Women really are attracted by scent, right? And so if you wear the right cologne, you feel confident, your scent kind of combines naturally with that, right?
And it draws you to them.
It's great. It's just great stuff, you know? It's just wonderful. And it gives you a lot of confidence. I'm a huge fan of that. I just love it. I found it so helpful. It works so, so well. So sense of smell is really, really critical. You know, they have a story about Napoleon with Josephine that he would tell her not to take a bath for a few days before he would meet up after he got back from a battle. Have you heard that one?
No. Yeah. But it makes sense because he wants her real sense.
Of
her
course.
Real scent. Yeah.
That's the best part. It is the part people get rid of the most.
Yeah, because women who shower, and I shower every day, you're washing off your natural scent.
Yeah.
And then you, if you put a lot of the women with the cologne or the perfume, you're really masking your natural scent, right?
You know, I don't use soap anymore. I really don't. I haven't for many, many years. I don't smell bad. I don't use soap. I do wash and have a shower every day, but my natural, I wear a deodorant, a very safe kind of deodorant, not the kind you get in the supermarket. There's no aluminum in it, nothing bad, but you don't really need that. And your natural scent can be very attractive to women. And it's really one of the most important things, honestly.
Yeah.
And nowadays people are really afraid of scent. And if they have any kind of scent, it's got to be dryer sheets. It's got to be clean musks from the dryer, you know, and it's so sick of it. Everyone's so sick of that. Honestly, it's not sexy at all.
I don't use any of that crap.
Not sexy at all. Not sexy.
No. I don't need my t-shirts to smell like lavender. Please, come on. And it never works anyway. You buy these boxes for $5-$10 and you're throwing sheets in the dryer and they come out. I don't smell anything. So it's just a waste of money. We haven't talked about this, and I'd love your take on it because I'm kind of working on somebody in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm struggling, and I've talked to my audience about this. How do you approach a woman in the real world cold. Like, so you see somebody in the supermarket, you're attracted to her, and you might sense that there may be some mutual flirtation going back and forth because you find yourself in the same aisle all of a sudden. What's the best way to approach a woman right out in the cold? She has no idea who you are. I don't even know she's married. She doesn't know if I'm married. Yada, yada. What's the best way to walk up to a woman and introduce yourself?
I've approached many women. And what I did is I found out, I approached 10 women, that I would get about 3 phone numbers and I would have 1 or 2 dates. That's what I found. So what the number one thing is that you have to decide you're going to approach every single woman that you see that you could possibly approach. You're not going to listen to the voice telling you not to. And she's going to be on her phone. So you have to be okay with walking up to her and interrupting her. You have to, excuse me, I just couldn't let a moment go by. I want to say hi. I just didn't want this to forget. How's your day? It doesn't matter what you say. You have to kind of let yourself back just out there, just like that. And you don't need to worry about game and scripts and thinking about what to say. That's what you need to do. And you just get better at it the more you do it. I always suggest that one of the good ways of getting better at approaching women is to take a salsa or ballroom class. Have you ever?
I have taken salsa. Yeah.
It's very good because you trade partners and, you know, you go all around and then afterwards everybody goes for coffee and, you know, you end up having a social life around that. But you get good at touching women, looking them in the eye, getting close to them. It gets much easier to approach women when you've been touching women at these lessons.
It's funny you mention that because my last girlfriend, she bought me salsa lessons for my birthday because she was Latina and she wanted us to learn salsa. So I couldn't. She got mad at me one day because I was dancing with somebody else. But maybe I should go sign up for a salsa class. That's an interesting concept.
But you just have to do it. I mean, and nowadays you have to interrupt women. There's no choice.
Because they're on the phone. They're on the phone.
Excuse me. I know you're busy. And some of them will want to talk to you. Some of them will not. But I know I've said so many women who have said, I wish men would approach me. They just don't anymore.
Really?
You know, because of the, especially at the gym. And, you know, you're afraid of bothering somebody on a machine or whatever. There's a way of approaching a woman at the gym. You don't have to be creepy or whatever. And women are not being approached because men don't know they're supposed to do that anymore. And they've lost the skill to do that. That's atrophied. Right. So they're just not doing it. So that's one of the big issues. You have to be good at doing that.
When I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, and my first wife I met in the real world, my second wife I met in the real world. It's in my blood, but in the last 20 years, technology has taken over and I've just lost that skill, like to walk up to a woman. Cause I used to do it all the time, but also alcohol played a part. Like if you're at a bar, Liquid Courage, you could walk up to, but now on a Saturday morning, I just woke up, I've showered, I'm on doing my errands. And I see this beautiful woman in the supermarket, and I'm just not, my head's mindset isn't there.
Okay, here's the mindset. The mindset that people have is completely working against them, which is I have to do good, I can't fail. What I always like to do is believe that I'm going to fail, that this is going to be really bad. And that allows me to go there, talk to her, and whatever happens, I'm not going to feel bad about the outcome. And normally, if you expect a negative result for each event, for each time you talk to a woman, but you expect a positive result over the numbers that you're going to get, you will get some positive results. So if you just expect a negative result on each interaction, you can generally hang in there when you get the so-called rejection. And then you get the yeses, you get a phone number. What I like to do is hand my phone to her. She can have her put her number in, take your phone back, and now take a selfie of both of you and say, I'll send it to you. Now she remembers what you look like. She remembers that event. Because a lot of times women will have all kinds of pots on the stove. Yeah. And they don't even remember you after a few days, really. They barely remember you. This way, they have your picture.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really believe a lot in getting physical and cuddling and doing everything short of intercourse or oral sex, non-sexual orgasmic activity a few times to tell women that I like you. I'd like to take things a little slow before we have sex. And I think that really helps make things a lot better and establishes a foundation for a relationship, which tends to be a lot better.
What do you know about body language? So you're on a first date or a second date, and the woman, like my arm is on the table, and the woman touches me several times. Like I read somewhere that means that she's into you. Is that?
Of course it does. Of course it does. Okay. Yeah. And women, really almost all the time, women make the first move. They make the first move before, like you said, you're kind of putting yourself out there, and she's making the move on the online things. A lot of times women will express interest in you when you're around them, just a little bit of a second longer gaze than would be normal, or a little brief smile. They make the first move. Then we have to go up and we have to follow through on it and be assertive. And a lot of times women, if you're on a date and she's touching you, and if you're not assertive and not moving it forward, she loses interest because she doesn't feel that you're intriguing and aggressive as you should be.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's the last woman I dated did that. And I did kiss her that night and we kissed the next night. But again, just ghosted. I just don't get that. So it's, and you know the old adage, women are, they have the prerogative to change their minds, and they do change their minds or whatever. I just don't get why they pursue, or lead you to believe that they're pursuing, and then they just disappear. The woman I'm talking to this week, just 3 days of great conversation, 2 days, nothing. I don't know what
you might enjoy that. I think that getting to the date is the key, and not having all that conversation.
Yeah.
Really. Which obviously you know that.
I offered my phone number. So I figured her next move is now she'll text me if she's comfortable.
But then you invite her to something fun. Like I said, I know a really cool place with some galleries and things. Let's go out. We'll meet you there. We can, and that sort of thing. Just your whole purpose is to get that date. That's the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely.
The back and forth is what kills a lot of men. I'm not talking about you, but I know a lot of men that I work with, they don't want to get shot down. They have this woman that they'd rather have a fantasy relationship with, so they don't move it forward. So they go back and forth, you know.
Yeah,
and she's got other people that she's seeing. What they should do is they should try to close the deal, but they don't want to risk losing her, and they'd rather just have the imaginary relationship than the real one.
That doesn't work. So
a lot of men are like that now. Lots of men.
All right, Matt, let's begin to wrap this up. This is fascinating information. And I knew when I saw your profile, I said, I got to have Matt on. And you taught me some great stuff and things that I never even thought of. Everything from the edging to you talked about just getting to that first date. All right. Anything that we may have skipped over or you'd like to tell the audience? And then I'm going to ask you to tell us where we can find you online, and I'll put all that in the show notes.
Okay. I'll talk about one more thing. What you need to do is, one of the red flags you look for is women's excessive addiction to social media. I think that's a red flag today.
I agree.
It's porn for women. It's worse than porn, really.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be careful of that. You mentioned a bad situation with a woman that had other things going on. Anybody that's tied to being an influencer, they have that's somebody that to me is a red flag. It's very hard for them to have an authentic relationship at this point. It's very sad, but they're drawn in so much with so much of the dopamine that.
What I found interesting, the second date I went on with this other woman, I never saw her cell phone. So she kept it in her pocketbook. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very respective. I always take mine and put it face down, but I keep it away. And I have an Apple Watch. I don't really need it because if I get a phone call or a text, I could just look at my watch.
So she didn't show you her phone, you're saying?
Never took it out. Right. Never took it out. So that was, I like that. That means that she wasn't glued to it. She wasn't going to use it as an excuse. Like, you know, women will use the phone. Oh, I got to go. I got to text my son, blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, she's gone. So, all right, good. So red flags. If they're addicted to social media, stay away.
If they're talking about social media and that's their life, stay away.
Yeah.
I'm not a
social media guy. I have to be on there for the podcast, but you will never find me scrolling all day long. I just hate that. It's not for my thing. So, okay. What, anything else?
And that's really it. And I really would love it if your listeners, you want to go to dailymedicaldiscoveries.com. and get my copy of Masculine Maximizer, which is coming out. I have a lot of things in there that are very interesting around sex for men, especially because men can also advance their health by improving their sex drive. I know that there was this theory, this idea that testosterone and DHT causes prostate inflammation, causes hair loss, which is absolutely not true. And if you raise your testosterone naturally, a lot of health factors improve, and you just have a much happier, better life. So it's a great way to go.
Okay. I'll email you right after the show. Just send me as much as that. And I see you're only on YouTube, which backs up your whole thing about not being on social media.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't like social media, but we do a lot of advertising on it, so it helps. I'm glad we have it, but I hate it. I can't stand it. I feel terrible when I'm on social media. I feel like everyone's showing off.
Oh, yeah. It's who can outdo the last person who did a joke or a funny video.
About this that showed that social media overuse increases loneliness, dissatisfaction, anxiety. But the one exception is X. If you're on X, X isn't people showing off. It's like really smart people or whatever, having memes and things. That the researchers found that people spending some time, not hours, but spending some time on X didn't diminish their self-image and didn't cause depression and anxiety. Isn't that interesting? Facebook was really bad. Instagram was bad.
Yeah.
And TikTok was really bad.
I think I know why. X is not like TikTok and Instagram where you scroll through videos. X is more, like you said, intellectual conversation.
It's more thoughtful. And people aren't just showing off, you know, what they're doing. TikTok's probably the worst. And of course, the same thing with Facebook Reels and YouTube Shorts. These are just addictive. Swipe, 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 swipe.
Yeah.
And they get our reward circuits and our brain messed up. And they cause us not to be that interested in sex, not to be as responsive to sex or as sensitive
to women. And not to pick your head up and look around, because you're right. No. Like I see these people that people are walking around, they're on their bicycles looking at their phones, they're in their cars looking at their phones.
It's changed their brains. It's changed their brains dramatically.
Yeah.
So it's something that we have to kind of work on our own brains to kind of undo some of that damage to ourselves.
Yeah. Matt, what a very enlightening conversation, and just thank you. Wow, really?
Thank you very much.
To be back. I may because I think
I would love to be back. I could talk about other topics that might interest
I know you could, and I didn't even get to have the question, any of the questions on my list.
Oh, so. I could go out all night. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been a great pleasure, and good luck with your dating life. I'll be eager to listen on the next podcast.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Wow. Like, seriously, I could have gone on for another hour there. And I think I'm just going to have him back. The man was just full of information. And a lot of it, you know, at my age, I hate when I say that, my age. He taught me stuff that we develop these things throughout life that we think work or don't work, or people put these ideas in our minds, and he kind of debunked a lot of them for me. And I like his approach to the woman, where you just approach her and get her to put your phone and the phone number, and then you take a selfie and then send it to her. And he's right. She's all of a sudden going to have a picture of the two of you and your phone number. I got to try that one at the supermarket. Okay. Folks, thank you. To Matt, thank you. And folks, if you're enjoying this podcast, I beg of you, more than the reviews at this point, because right now my reviews are skyrocketing. And not that I don't want them. If you want to leave me a review, please do. But I need help financially. I'm coming up on 2 years of funding this podcast out of my own back pocket. And I am broke. So, in my show notes, there is a little link that says, buy me a cup of coffee. It's $5, folks. Just click on it. You donate $5 to the show. You don't go on a mailing list. I don't get your email. You don't get subscribed to, like, you know, it's just donation of $5 to the show. Down the road, I may do a Patreon or a subscription with Apple, but I'm not close to that yet. I want to bring this content to you free, but I need help. So yes, a donation of $5 may not sound like free, but it's a donation. So, like, you know, if you see somebody that needs help and you enjoy what they do, it's like the guys that in Penn Station that they play music. Everybody goes over and throws a dollar or two in the hat Just think of me, the guy, the guy in Penn Station. Oh, God. Okay, Anonymous Andrew saying thank you to Matt. Thank you to my audience. And I hope you guys are off to a great new year. And next weekend, we're going to do part two of dating profiles. Boy, if you didn't hear last weekend's dating profile weekend rant, I go off on what is wrong with predominantly women's profiles, because I haven't checked out too many men's. But women, your pictures have got to be improved. Go check out last weekend's rant. I talk all about the pictures. And this weekend, we're going to talk about the bio. So until then, Anonymous Andrew, ciao.